We are Sheffield Community Church, where we represent God to the lost and found. This is the podcast of our Sunday service. We hope this message blesses you and leads you to a better life.
Good morning. Thank you, worship team. That's good you are here this morning. I'm seeing people that I've not seen in a long time. You're welcome. Thank you for coming. We are on the series on the book of Philippians, and I'm bringing it to a close today as we look at chapter 4 of the letter of Paul to the Philippian church. If you got your Bibles with you, or if you can follow us on the screen, I'm reading from Philippians chapter 4 from verse 6 to 9. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to 9. Ready? Be anxious. If you could use New King James. Yeah. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. And through Christ Jesus, will guide your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and had and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen. So we have been on a journey with the book of Philippians. We started by looking at chapter 1, where we learned that circumstances cannot steal your joy. Don't allow circumstances to steal your joy. And then in chapter 2, we learned that people can steal your joy. And last week, we also discovered that things can take our joy away. Things such as our achievements, things such as our family heritage, things such as our identity that we value so much above the identity we have in Christ. And today, in chapter 4, we're not looking at things. Chapter 4 has got the biggest challenge to joy. It's the biggest challenge you'll face as a believer or as a Christian. And this challenge is the challenge of worry. Worry. So my topic today is Christ, my peace. Christ, my peace. We started by looking at Christ, my everything, Christ, my all in all. And then we looked at Christ, my model. Last week, we looked also at that issue of Christ being our model. And today, we're looking at Christ being our peace. Don't worry, the media guys will sort it out. So if anybody had an excuse to be worried, then it's Paul. Paul had every excuse to be worried because Paul was locked up in a Roman prison. He was chained to guards 24/7. I did mention when we started the series that there were around 16 guards on duty per day that had to take shifts to guard Paul. He was and those prisons are not really what you would consider a prison. They were like dungeons. And Paul is in a very uncomfortable place. Isolated, his only company are the guards, the imperial guards. And if there's any person who could complain, who had an issue, who really maybe we could say had something to worry about, it had to be Paul. But Paul, out of those kind of, out of that situation, Paul is able to encourage people that are outside and say, hey, rejoice. Hey, be joyful. And yet he was in a place where you would not even find any reason for him to be joyful. But here we are today. We are faced with this thing called worry. It's like an animal that just doesn't want to go away. It's like something that follows you everywhere you go. And maybe many of us have got an experience with this giant called worry. This is familiar ground for Paul, because Paul says, do not be anxious for anything, but through prayer, with supplication, and with thanksgiving, let your requests known to God, and the God of peace shall be with you. So Paul knew what he was talking about. He knew that there were people that were worrying. He knew that there were people that were having issues. I mean, he himself had issues with people disagreeing with him. He had issues with circumstances. He had issues with things. But when it comes to chapter 4, he takes his time to help us understand the secret to worrying, or to stop worrying. What is the secret? Well, first let's understand what is worry, because you might be, oh, okay. No comment. So worry is like a rocking chair. Someone wrote this actually. It's not me. It says worry is a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but doesn't get you anywhere. Okay? And someone says, worry is, I like this one because, yeah, it says a lot. Worry is faith in the negative. Okay? So suppose you know faith. Now, look at the opposite, negative side of faith. So it says that it's trust in the unpleasant, assurance of disaster, and belief in defeat. So of anything you could think about, maybe you're caught up in this, where you start having a certain cough, the first thing that comes to mind is disaster. My goodness, I'm going to die. Do I have it? Or what's going on? And then you start being unpleasant, you know. And before you know it, you are defeated. Now, so, oh, I'm going to die. Oh, I'm going to die. Please, can you bring my children? I want to say my last word. That's worry. That's how it comes upon you. What is worry? Worry is wasting today's time to clutter up tomorrow's opportunities with yesterday's troubles. What is worry? Worry pulls tomorrow's clouds over today's sunshine. That's from Chuck Swindoll. He says, worry pulls tomorrow's clouds over today's sunshine. So you know that today is a good day, but you're like, I won't enjoy this forever. So you go into tomorrow and pull out the bad things from the tomorrow and bring them today, into your situation today. What is worry? The Swedish people say that worry often gives a small thing a big shadow. You know, so you can see an ant, but it can, depending on what you're projecting it with or against, it can look a big monster. And then that terrorizes you the whole day. Meanwhile, it's a little thing that has become a big issue to you. That's how worry, I'm giving you ways to understand how worry operates. Because worry is a system. The devil is not, of all characteristics of the devil is not foolish. Don't deceive yourself. The devil, he can be anything else, but he's certainly not foolish. So he works through you in a certain way. And one of his tools he uses is worry. That's why I'm taking time to explain what worry is. Now, you might not like this one, but I'm going to say it. Worry is a sin. Okay? We should stop it. That's what Paul is taking time to tell us, that don't you worry. I know there's a song, but I'm not talking about the song here. The song doesn't go deep enough. It doesn't tell you where you get help. So if I'm not worrying, what should I be doing? It says, be happy. Oh, I just get happy? So the Bible talks about joy. Joy, because joy is more permanent than happiness. Happiness is controlled by circumstances in your life. But joy is completely different. So our it has to do with being anxious. Worry has to do with being anxious. What does that mean? It means that we are being pulled in different directions. That's what worry does. So you know there is hope, but your mind is telling you are finished. And there's a play between your heart and your mind. So you end up feeling like you are being pulled in different directions, and before you know it, you accept defeat. Now, there are physical consequences to worry. This is how the devil works. So he starts in your mind, he gets into your emotions, and then it becomes physical. So there are physical consequences. People have struggled with headaches, which can't go away, neck pains because of worrying, ulcers, even back pains are caused by worrying. Worry affects our thinking. It affects our digestion. It affects our diet. It affects our whole way of coordinating things. It's affected by worry. So you can see why the devil loves this weapon. And that's why I'm talking about it, because it's a major issue for a lot of Christians. From a spiritual point of view, worry is found on wrong thinking. It is enhanced when we think wrongly about stuff. That is the mind. So if we think wrongly about our circumstances, thinking that, oh, this thing is going to crush me. I'm going to lose my job just because a boss wrote you a letter saying, be careful. In your mind, that letter reads, I'm fired. This is your brain telling you this. Okay? That's how you read things like that. So your mind is already processing wrong information or right information in a wrong way. Or things, for example, you can have a few things with you, let's say a big bank account, and then you begin to believe that my bank account is my savior. You begin to believe that, oh, my car is the best thing that ever happened. You even call your car she. You give your car a name. Okay? Your mind is playing games with you. I know it's quiet in here, but it's okay. I'll keep going. There's good ventilation from up here, so I'm going to stay awake. So worry is elusive. It's elusive. Is someone with me here? Am I preaching the right church today? Okay. I'll keep going then. So I'll tell you why worry is a big deal to most people. Worry, all the things I've been talking about, circumstances, things, people, all those are external. But when you come to worry, it's an inside job. That's why it's a problem. Have you watched those movies where someone sells secrets from within and they can't figure out who did this? And when damage has been made, that's when they figure out, all along it's been this guy. More damage is done that way. When it's an external issue, it's very easy to deal with it. But this is an inside job. It works from the inside and affects every area of your life. And before you know it, you are finished. You are defeated. So it takes more than good intentions. It takes more than singing, don't worry, be happy. It's more than that. There's something happening. There's something at work. There's a process that has to be jammed or removed completely, so that your whole way of looking at life is changed. This is what Paul is encouraging. He says, listen, do not be anxious for anything. Other versions say, do not worry. Would you be pleased to know that the word worry does not even exist in the Bible? That is, if you're reading New King James. That word worry is not in the Bible at all. So, but it's associated with anxiety, obviously. So how do we overcome the habit of worry? How do we overcome? I'm sure most of us want to hear this part. How? Well, there are three things I want to say. I'm praying that you'll get something out of this. And then I want you to go and do the practicals in your own way. Number one, if you're going to overcome this thing called worry, it starts by praying right. There's a certain way of praying that does not give you results. James tells us that you pray and you do not receive because you pray amiss. James 4, 6, 7. So even you ask with wrong motives. That's wrong prayer. So there are ways in which we can pray that will not be answered by God. So what does Paul say? Paul says in Philippians 4, 6 to 7, he says, do not be anxious about anything. And then he says, but in everything, do not be anxious about what? Anything. Anything, whether it's your health, whether it's your relationships, whether it's your finances, whether it's your whatever situation you're facing. Paul says, it's in the Bible, says, do not be anxious for anything or for nothing, but in everything in life. Everything in life. By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known, not to the devil. Known to who? To God. Not to your neighbor, but to who? To God. That is praying right. And when we do that, there are results. There are results. But this particular way of praying is connected to this thing called worry. It's zeroing in on this giant called worry. You've got to learn to pray right as a believer. That's where it starts from. So, I know sometimes we want hands laid on us because we're worrying. We want a magical solution to worry. We wake up one morning, worries disappeared. I know. It happens because God is a God of miracles. It can happen. But if you realize that it comes back, because it usually does, when you've done a quick fix to it, there's a way of doing it. You start by praying right. My question to you is, do you pray about everything in your life that needs God's attention? Or there are things that you select that, for this one, Lord, I'm going to leave you. I can handle this one on my own. When it comes to finding a life partner, don't worry, God. I'll deal with that one. But when I need a job, please, God, help me. Now, the Bible is very clear. In everything, bring it to God's attention. There are no little things and big things in prayer. What is little to you may be the very issue that God wants to get involved in. Because the enemy uses little footholds, little openings in your life to then drive in and control your life. So every item in your life is important to God. Do you remember Jesus talking about saying, look, you worry about everything. Why? What do you think about birds? Birds don't need to worry about what they will eat or where the food will come from. But you worry, and yet it's you that I love. You are my children. But look at the birds. The birds don't even prepare for anything. They just wake up and fly. They trust God that there will be food for them to eat every day. Do you actually realize that when Jesus is talking to us, why did he choose the birds? Have you ever thought about that? Why did he choose to use the example of birds? Why didn't he use something else? Well, because you see, after the fall, a lot of things got out of control. And I think the birds probably were not so affected by the fall. Because birds still wake up and fly and depend on God to feed them. So he says, you as human beings, learn from the birds. May God give us understanding. So, how do we pray right? Number one is, you've got to engage with God, okay? You've got to engage with God. How do you engage with God? I don't want to spend a lot of time on prayer. I'm going to talk about that some other time. But the whole issue about prayer is engaging with God. When you are faced with this thing called worry, straight away from today, factor in the issue of praying into your schedule. You have to pray. There's no dodging that one. Someone can pray for you, but you've got a job to do yourself. start praying. The veil of the temple, when Jesus hung on the cross, the veil of the cross was torn from top to bottom. Because God was saying, you now have access to the throne of grace that you can approach through prayer. Every one of us, we can approach the throne of grace. So it's called a throne because where there is a throne, there is provision for a lot of things in our lives. So one of the provisions we have on that throne is the whole issue of dealing with worry. And for us to access that provision, we access it through prayer. There's no other way. You will have to pray. God is inviting us to a place of prayer. And he actually says, whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, it will be given unto you. So we've been given a name to pray with. How do we pray, right? We use the name of Jesus Christ. You with me? We use the name of Jesus. Prayer is what is needed. So prayer shows that we depend on God. We're not trying to find our own solutions to get this thing out of our lives. We need God. That's what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, this thing is bigger than you can think. This thing, he cannot solve it on your own. You need God to help you with worry. You cannot solve it on your own. You don't need smart talking to get it rid of it. You need God. And for that, you go to God in prayer. And how do you come to God in prayer? I like this because God says, come to God with supplication. Prayer with supplication and supplication. What is supplication? Supplication means making your needs known to God. That's what it means. So God is giving us permission to go to him and say, I'm worried about things in my life. I'm worried about people in my life. I'm worried about the circumstances I find myself in today. God says, bring them to me. Don't take them to your neighbor. Another way of worrying is gossip. You know that, don't you? Take them to God. Take them to God in prayer. And then he says, with thanksgiving. Why thanksgiving? Because if you trust God, you will give him thanks in you give thanks in advance that he has dealt with your problem. God likes children that are thankful. Same with parents. Parents appreciate children that are thankful. It's a good feeling to have children that are able to say thank you. So in the same way, God expects us to give thanks. Just to say, thank you, Lord. The result, see, the difference here is that with God, you say thank you before you receive it. That is called faith. That's called faith. You don't wait for worry to lift and then you say, oh, Lord, thank you. No, no, you say thank you again. We rejoice. That's how God operates. So when we do this, the Bible says the peace of God will be yours. The peace of God. This is a guaranteed result from the word of God. It says, the peace of God will be with you. How? It will guard your hearts. It will also guard your minds. So God knows what he's dealing with. He hits two things at the same time, the heart and the mind, because worry deals with both before it gets to the body. So the devil knows his game very well, and he plays it big time. So what is the solution to worry? What is the antidote to worry? The antidote to worry is prayer. And the peace of God shall garrison your mind. Put Amplified, please, for verse 6. Amplified version. Verse 7, sorry, says, and the peace of God shall garrison, guard like a soldier, your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. The picture here is of, you remember Paul. Paul had soldiers chained to him on his feet, also on his on his neck. So he was chained. They were guarding him. And when God deals with worry, what he does is he makes sure that his peace guards you. It's like God is covering you from the darts of the enemy that he wants to shoot at you so that you become more worried about different things in your life. That's what the devil does. He simply shoots arrows towards your direction And with every arrow he hits, it's targeted. It's fashioned against you. It's wired to bring some kind of discomfort in your life. And it's easy to fall for it. And he knows how to trigger the right points. The devil works through a triggering system in your life. He knows that when so-and-so starts using such and such words, she will throw up. She will blow up. So the devil knows what ticks you off. And the moment that word is mentioned, it reminds you of what happened to you 30 years ago. Then all the events of 30 years ago come crashing into your spirit, and then you're ready to fight now. So you think you're fighting a man, you're fighting 30 years of accumulation. That's how the devil operates. So what does God do? God then sends his peace to garrison you and cover you. Because you need protection. The God knows that. So you need to be careful how the devil functions. Okay, I want to, because of time, I can't press this harder, but let's look at an example. Maybe an example will help you. Daniel. You remember Daniel? In chapter 6, they passed a law that no one shall pray to any god for the next 30 days except to the king on the throne. And now, how many of you know that that's a cause of concern for some people? It will really get some few Christians worried. But what does Daniel do? Well, Daniel goes to his house. He still prays 3 times a day as though nothing has happened. So the devil tries to shoot a dart at him, an arrow, in Daniel's direction. But what does Daniel do? Daniel's not ruffled. He continues with his Christian or with his godly lifestyle. He does not make adjustments for the devil. He does not accommodate a new program for the devil. He continues with his godly lifestyle. And then look at this verse. I think it's 6:10, please. 6:10, it says, look at the formula that Paul is writing about. Daniel also knew this. Daniel 6, verse 10, it says, he prayed and gave thanks before his God. He prayed. I want you to see it on the screen. Okay, there you go. He says, look at the last sentence there. He got down on his knees 3 times a day. What is he doing? He's praying. Because the solution to worry is prayer. So he's praying. And what did he pray about? He gave thanks. What else did he do? Before his God. As he had done previously. Let's keep going. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel doing what? Making petition, that is supplication. He was making petition and pleading before his God concerning the law that was passed. He wasn't ignoring the law. He wasn't ignoring the arrow that had shot in his direction to make him be worried. What does he do? He takes it to God in prayer. Whatever you're facing today, you do the same thing. Don't shy away from praying. Take it to God in prayer. Say, God, they're coming to pick up my car. I can't pay my bill. They're coming to shut this down. Pray. You understand? Pray. Put away the letter and pray. What does King Ezekiel does? He takes the letter, which is an arrow shot by the devil, meant to break him down. For Ezekiel, he says, I'm not messing around. He takes it to the house of prayer in the open and says, God, look at this. You hear what they're saying? I like that one. Take it to God. Take it to God. He doesn't take it to his neighbor. Say, hey, I need help here. No, he takes it to God in prayer. What is it that you're facing? Take it to God in prayer. Do you find this practical? Is this useful to you? Try it. Try it. Have you ever seen an advert that says, oh, try this one. It works. I'm doing the same right now. Try this. It works. Number 2, think right. Okay, think. So we say, pray right, in order to overcome worry, pray right. But secondly, think right. Philippians 4, verse 8, the Bible says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, Whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and there is anything praiseworthy, what should you do? Other versions say, look for one that says, think about these things. It should be NIV. Think about these things. Think about these things. So you don't only pray, you think about these things. There are many things we could think about. Let me give you an example. If you, for example, expose yourself to a horror movie where people's heads are being chopped off, chainsaws are ripping people apart, and you are watching that, what you're doing is you are opening your mind to something that you'll have to deal with later when you're trying to sleep. So because the brain is a way of playing on its own. It does repeat on its own, subconsciously. So you start watching a movie for the second time, it will be playing on its own. It's smarter than a computer, your brain. So it's your responsibility to think right about what you're exposing yourself to. It's your responsibility. So Paul says, you can decide whether you want to think about things that are noble, things that are true, because there's a lot of stuff right now in the media that anyone can believe. Conspiracy theories, for example, about the vaccine. People saying, oh, you know, is this not the mark of the devil? So I'm not having a vaccine yet because I don't want to get the mark of the devil. If you think about that, you will actually be terrified in having it. When you finally decide to have it, you get sick. Because sometimes it's not that it's the symptoms of the effects of the vaccine, but your mind has already prepared you that I'm sick. And that is true. It's noble. It's you believing that. It's praiseworthy. No, it's not. Of course it's not. So you need to think, work through this thing called the mind. What is it that you're opening yourself to? Language, for example. If we are opening yourself up to swear language, to language that is demeaning, to language that is negative, do you know that a negative person can do more damage than negative circumstances in your life? That's why parents are concerned. Who are your friends? It's important who you play with. It's important who you hang around with. Because it happens here. And the devil is a master at that. So when the devil appears in the Garden of Eden, what does the devil do? It's words he uses. He says, did God really say, Eve? Did God really? He's playing with their mind. And the devil does the same when it comes to Jesus Christ. He says to him, if you are the Son of God, he's playing with the mind. As though Jesus did not know his identity. He says, if you are the Son of God, then drop yourself. Jump from that place. He's still using the same trick. He's coming for you in that way. And Paul says, no, think about these things. Think about these things. Things that are noble, things that are pure, things that are true. Don't think stress. Don't think negativity. I'm not saying bad things don't happen. They do. But don't dwell on them. Don't dwell on them. Now, how do I do that, Pastor? Mm-hmm. That's where the challenge is, isn't it? How do I do it? Let me read something for you. It says, if you sow a thought, you reap an action. If you sow an action, you reap a habit. If you sow a habit, you reap a character. And if you sow a character, you reap a destiny. In short, it simply means that if you start believing that there is no place called hell. Hell froze a long time ago when there were the floods. So hell should have froze then. And then you start believing that. You then live your life in such a way that you think there's no future. But you'll be surprised that after you die, there's a judge waiting. And then you realize that there's eternity on the other side. But it will be too late to change. So your destiny is affected by what you sow. Your thought pattern is important. How we think is very, very critical. Someone did a survey on this thing called worry in the US, and the report indicated that only 8% of the things people worry about are legitimate matters of concern. The rest is just worrying. The other 92 are either imaginary, never happened, or evolved matters which people had no control over anyway. So Satan is the liar. The Bible, Jesus called him the father of lies. He can concoct lies in your brain, in your mind, that you end up believing things that are not true, that you are a bad person, that you cannot love, you cannot be loved, that you have been rejected, that there is nothing good that comes out of you. And then you believe that. And for sure, what you touch after that falls apart, because it's a narrative you're playing in your mind. And the devil smiles, says, yes, yes. Listen to me, you can reverse that. Your mind can be renewed. How can it be renewed? By the word of God. By the word of God. Believe the word of God. That's why we insist, read the Bible daily, on a daily basis. Take a dosage of the word of God. Put it into your life. The Bible is true. The Bible is the one that tells you that you are wonderfully and fearfully made. The Bible is the one that says that you are the apple of my eye. The Bible is the one that says to you, I am the life. I've come to give you life and life in abundance. It is God's word that is saying this. And the more you say it, the more you expose yourself to it, your life will change. Your belief system will change. You begin to see yourself as a child of God. You begin to see yourself as victorious in the things of God, because you are pressing into God. You are pressing in the word of God. You are not assuming that the word will jump out of scripture and get into you. You get into the word yourself. So reading the Bible for a believer is not an option, because there is so much news out there that wants your mind. The devil has a view on almost everything you have to say or think about. He has a view about it. The devil has a view on your marriage. The devil has a view on how to raise your children. The devil has a view on how to live with your husband or wife. The devil has a view even on how you go to work. He has a view. But what is God's view on that? What is God's view? What is honest? What is pure? What is lovely? What is of a good report? As believers, we must measure most on these things, higher than the things of the world. Paul says, let your mind dwell on these things, heavenly things. Let your mind dwell there. Be careful about negative friends. I'm very serious on this one, because, yeah, pulling you out of those friendships is a lot of work. Some phone calls you have to ignore from today. Don't take them. Some emails you have to delete before you open them. It's just as simple as that. Oh, let me hear a bit, maybe then I'll delete afterwards. No, don't. No, don't. I was telling my wife over the weekend, and I knew what the devil was going to do. I knew, because I was going to preach on this, so I knew that there will be an attempt. I was tired. I was going to bed. And then for some reason, I was deleting some messages, as I usually do. I was deleting a lot of some messages. And then on this one particular one, I didn't. I clicked to listen to it. And as soon as I listened to it, I regretted listening to it. I was saying, how did I even choose to leave this one when I deleted the rest of them? But I knew the game. I knew straight away. So I went into prayer, preparing for this message. I knew what the devil was up to. So by the time I shared with my wife, I said, listen, I've dealt with it. I've dealt with it. So that's how the devil works. I should have just deleted it, because the enemy has a way of working things in your mind to wake you up, and then at the end of the day, you then crumble. Okay, here's the last thing, because of our time is gone. Here's the last thing, then we will close. Number 3. So we said pray right, think right, live right. As you can tell, it's a process. You don't just pray right and leave it at that. You still need to move on to live right. What does Paul say in verse 9? Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. Paul says, what you have learned and received and heard and saw in who? In me. There's something you have seen in my life. There's something you have heard. I can see that. But there's something you actually have learned and received from my life. Paul says, that go and do. And he says, then the God of peace. The God of peace will be with you. It's not just prayer. It's not just thinking. But how you live your life matters to God. Can I get personal here? The prayer of our times has made many of us get caught up in a web of energy draining things. Is that true? Things that drain us. By the end of the day, you wonder, was I fighting Mike Tyson or what? And you know what the name for that is? The name for that is worry. Chances are good you woke up this morning, stepped out of bed before doing anything, and you pulled up your backpack of worry, which is following you everywhere. And that's normal for most Christians. You can't put down the bag. It's like a story of a little boy I had that got on a bus carrying a bag. He didn't know, he had never been in a lovely bus. So what he did is he took a seat, but he was carrying his bag. The bus went on and on, hours and hours, still hanging, holding his bag, until someone said, young man, your bag. There is storage there. You can put your bag there. You don't need to carry it because you're already in the bus. So the bus is carrying your bag, but you don't need to put it on your back. So sometimes we are Christians. God has given us a door to deal with worry, but we can't throw away this backpack. It's always on us. The backpack called worry. Everywhere we go, we're carrying it. And we're Christians. And my prayer is that I pray that you don't continue carrying that bag. You probably started this day without prayer. But you didn't forget the backpack. It's a dreadful habit. The habit of worrying every day you live. Jesus challenged his followers, didn't he? Jesus challenged them. What did Jesus say? He says, and who of you, being worried, can add a single hour? A single hour to your life. Who? By being worried, can add a single hour. You know, you remember the rocking chair thing we're talking about? That worry is like a rocking chair. There is activity, but it's going nowhere. That's what worry does. It's wasting your energy. It's wasting your time. You could be doing a lot with that time sitting on that chair. You know? But worry says, come on, continue. Because it's so comfortable when you sit on that chair, overlooking the beach, relaxing, so we think, for us watching from afar. Meanwhile, you're far from relaxing. Your brain is working at 120 miles per hour as you sit on that chair. But I've come with news to you that Paul says, you can put this to an end. This can come to an end. Anxiety cannot become a favorite. It cannot become your favorite pastime. You cannot get used to this thing called worry. You've got to hate it. You've got to reject it. You've got to fight it. It's not part of your life. It should not be a part of your life. Amen. So Paul says, he mentions four acts. He says, that which you have learned and received, that which you have heard and seen. That's life, isn't it? Paul says, look at my life. I am in prison. Says Paul, there are things I've said to you. And so when you're talking about this thing, it's not just something that we talk about. It's something that you've got to live out. Your life has to show that you have overcome these things. And it's possible in Christ, by the way. Christ can give you strength. Christ can give you peace that you need. So how do I deal with this exactly? How do I live right now? Let me try and finish this off now. Paul says in Philippians 4:13, says, I'm ready for anything through the strength of the one who lives within me. Other versions say, I can do everything God asks me to do with the help of Christ, who gives me the strength and the power. So we don't live this life in our own power. It's impossible to overcome this giant called worry in your strength. So what does Paul say? Paul says, yes, I pray right. Yes, I think right. Yes, I live right. But you know what? I need power from God. So he says, I need this power that will enable me to overcome this thing. It's something that needs extra power, which is outside my ability to fight it. How many of you know that the devil has been in this game for a long time? There's no way you can outsmart the devil in the area of worry. So we reach out for help. That's why we pray. We reach out for help and say, God, help me. I need you. I need you. And God sends his peace to garrison you. Now what happens then is you will begin to experience victory. Because that's the only solution. Worry about nothing. Don't worry about anything. But in everything in your life, pray. What is Paul talking about? He's talking about a lifestyle that you've got to begin to introduce in your life. Pray. How do you pray? I know maybe it happens to you, but sometimes I pray about something, it comes big again. But Lord, I've dealt with this. I thought I dealt with this thing that is making me worry so much. It's back. Do you know what that means? It's an indication that go pray some more. Go back to prayer. Don't throw a tantrum. In fact, you'd rather throw a tantrum in prayer. Because God is not moved by tantrums. He waits. Because spirits have got time. They don't use our time. So they wait. So when that problem comes back, it's a signal to say, go back and pray. The Bible actually says, pray without ceasing. So the Bible says, so some things we got to keep pressing in prayer. You'll begin to see victory, and victory will become certain, and victory will become your lifestyle. It won't happen in a day, but the more you continue to living right, thinking right, praying right, you will experience victory over that stronghold. Yes, the letters might keep coming. Yes, circumstances may seem like they're not changing, but trust me, God is at work when you don't see it. God is at work when you don't even feel it. God will be beginning to move things on your behalf because the word is true. Paul is right. God cannot lie because he's not a man that he should lie. He says, the peace of God shall be with you. He's a God of peace. He's the Prince of Peace. That's what the Bible says. And how many of you know that we need the peace of God today? We need the peace of God. One of the things that you cannot travel without is peace of God. You can leave your backpack at home, or even not even at home, throw it away, that backpack of worry. But don't leave home without the peace of God. You need the peace of God. Remember what I said about the peace of God? It's a garrison over your life. The empire inside of you. Empire simply means the peace of God judges what is right thinking, what is wrong thinking. The peace of God judges, tells you that, that's not something to think about. That's not something to dwell on. You need the peace of God. The peace of God will take you to places where you will experience even much more than the peace of God. You will experience the blessing of God, the reward of God, the love of God. And this is my challenge to us today. My encouragement to you this morning is keep praying. Pray about everything. As you trust God for that problem, as you trust God for that situation, it will go away. It will move. It has to move. Because we're talking about a God of heaven, a powerful God. There's nothing impossible to God. And so Jesus says, do not worry about these things. Because God is at work. Shall we pray? Is it okay? Can I give you a moment to pray? I want you to pray for yourself. Is that okay? If you want to stand on your feet, please do. I want you to take a moment, just a moment, maybe 2 minutes, 3 minutes, just to apply what we learned today. Maybe there's a situation in your life right now. Maybe it's people. Maybe it's things. Maybe it's been following you for a long, long time. But today you come to this throne of grace because, you see, when you come to a throne, a throne is a place where answers are available. A throne is a place where your situation is heard by God. That's why it's a throne. So maybe I'll give you a moment to say, God, I have a situation today. I'm not going to gossip about it. I refuse to allow it to cause me to fret and be frightened. This morning, I present it to you. I break this chain of worry in my life. In the name of Jesus. Talk to God. Let God hear you today. Imagine you are just at this throne and heaven is listening to you today. What would you say? The Bible has already given you permission. It says, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests known to God. So we are in the right place today. We are in the right place according to the scriptures to come to God and say, God, would you come through for me? I need your help. I need your strength. I cannot fight this on my own. That Father, help me think right. Help me pray right. Help me live right today. In the name of Jesus, that as I walk out of this place, that I will leave this backpack in your presence. For the Bible says, cast all your cares unto me. Cast all your burdens unto me because I care for you. That's what the Bible says. So as we come to God today, we are not walking back with this backpack. We are not going home with that backpack. We are leaving it here. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Father, I thank you for your church. I thank you for the saints that gather today. I pray, my Lord, that this stronghold, this giant of worry, will not continue to be a giant before us. May you break the chain, the yoke of worry that is in this room, the different ones that have struggled with this chain over their necks. I come against you today. Loose them and let them go. In the name of Jesus, you chain of worry, I break you right now. In the name of Jesus, loose and go in Jesus' name. You have no place here. You have no place over that lady. You have no place over that man. Loose him and let him go. In the name of Jesus, go. You have no place no more. In the name of Jesus, we reject you today. We reject you today. Christ, I pray, may you fill us with your Spirit today. May you activate the Word of God in us. May the Word be active. May the Word be active by the Spirit of God. Father, may we believe your Word. May we lean on you heavily. And trust your word. For you are not a man that you should lie, nor a son of man that you should change your mind about what you said about us, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We believe your word, that we should not worry, we should not be anxious about anything, but that by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, we should make our requests known to you. So Lord, I pray, release your peace today. Let your peace tabernacle here. Let your peace find its way in our hearts. In the name of Jesus, may the peace of God settle in our hearts. May the peace of God rule in our hearts and in our minds. And God's people said, Amen. Amen. May the Lord bless you.
If God is transforming your life through this podcast, take courage and visit us in person. We would love to meet you and get to know you more. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you soon.